Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poole, and my guest today is my friend Scott Jarzombach. And Scott is here to talk about a book by the name of The Library Book, and it's about a library in California that was burned down, and he's going to talk about the importance of libraries. So, Scott, did you enjoy the book?
Yes, I read it some time ago. I'm always interested in the perspective of non-librarians when, you know, talking and investigating libraries and how they're almost always surprised about what libraries do.
So the book focuses on a fire that happened to a library in California in the 80s. So tell us about the fire and what inspired the author to write the book.
Well, I think it was the effect that the fire had on the library, the effect that it had on the community that library served. And that's sadly a story that, you know, we've heard a few times. I worked at the Danbury Public Library. They had a fire, and they talked about it a lot. There were recently fires at two different libraries in New York State. And it really, I don't think people realize how important libraries are to some of their friends and neighbors, and sometimes they're even surprised by how much an impact a library can closing can have on themselves. And it's always sad that, you know, I joke that libraries are, they're the friend you call when you need, you know, when your battery is dead in the parking lot, you need a jump, and you know that friend always has their jumper cables and knows how to jump a car, but we're not always that friend that you think of when you go out and have a beer. You know, I think it speaks to the fact that libraries are sometimes taken for granted for what we do in the community.
So the importance of the book, what would you say is the importance of the book and why everybody should be familiar with what was written in the book?
Well, I think, you know, the idea that it's humanity's bulwark. It's kind of, you know, we keep a community together. Sometimes we force a community to be in the same room. And we are the keepers of the community's shared resources. We're something that the community as a group, no matter Republican, Democrat, millennial, greatest generation, doesn't matter. We're owned by everyone. And that's really nice in this day and age to kind of have that connection.
So tell us about a little bit about the fire in California, how it started, and what the ramifications were.
It's been a while since I've read the book, so those specifics, I'm not going to lie, they don't come off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
You know, what I think is really important about the story is the fact that, you know, there is such a human side to something we don't always think of the human side to.
Okay. And, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
You know, just that sometimes when we think about a library, and I often say that, you know, we think about just a building that houses books, and libraries are so much more than that. You know, they're a connection. They are, every day we have hundreds of people walk in and out of our doors. We're the one part of the community, and this library was the one part of the community where it didn't matter who you were. You know, you could come in the door, you could borrow material, you could see your neighbors. And most importantly, you can interact with staff. And when people like that are displaced by something like a fire, I think it really kind of upsets you. It upsets your day-to-day routine.
Now, there were a number of books that were burned. Isn't the figure 1 million books in the library that burned down in California?
And that's not surprising. I mean, I think people don't realize, even our smaller branches, you know, have volumes and volumes of books, you know, that it's our job to safeguard. And you know, I've heard that story before I started library school. Someone asked me why I was bothering to go to library school, and because libraries were going to be obsolete. And the fact is that was 20 years ago, and, you know, we still loan out, you know, thousands of books, almost a million books. So I don't think paper books are going anywhere, and in reality, I think we all know how you know, that digital experience can go rather quickly, and I think we rely on books to kind of hold our knowledge. And we can't think of a, you know, we think of them as something so safe. So when there's a fire and when books burn, you know, we know that that knowledge is lost. You can't just back that knowledge up. I was just in our local history collection, and that's what scares me the most. I mean, if the books in one of our branches were to burn, most of them are replaceable. They're insured, and we could get new volumes, and we could rebuild that collection. But libraries, like the library in California and like every library across the United States, there are local publications, there are local history items that when they burn, they're gone forever, and they're not replaceable. And that's another thing that libraries do that I don't think is always recognized, that we sometimes are the historical record of the communities that we serve.
Okay, wow, that's interesting. So the library in California, was it an accident or was it arson?
I believe this was in Los Angeles, and I believe it was an accident.
Okay. So,
and, you know, for many libraries, the buildings and the infrastructure aren't always up to date, and, you know, there's always that fear of a fire. But there have been fires at libraries that were purposely set, and that's
mm-hmm.
something that we often worry about.
So there's other components besides books. You and I have talked about technology, and, you know, for a library to no longer be in existence or having to be rebuilt, from your perspective, how does that diminish the community?
Well, I mean, one, for many people in the community, and this is thousands of people in the community, we are their primary means of internet connectivity. So in other words, they can't afford it at home, or they can't get it at home because they move around, you know, they have a lot of roommates. We're where you can get the internet. And that's for as long as, I mean, I've been with Albany Public Library for almost 20 years now. And, you know, from my very first day till today, that's been a really important piece to what we do. And, you know, simultaneously our programs, the programs that we do ourselves, the organizations who use us to do programs. Right now I was just with a class that's a, you know, it's a BOCES class, and they meet here every day. And we're helping, you know, in the process of getting, for them getting ready to get their, you know, high school equivalency certificate. So we serve people individually. We serve organizations. And, again, we're that third place in the community where there are some people who live in the city of Albany that we're the one place they can go. You know, they don't have to buy anything from us. They don't have to be, you know, their membership for here is free, and you're not asked for a membership card when you walk in the place. And we're one of the most reliable things that they have in their life. And I think that's one part of the public library that people really need to start to recognize, just having an institution that serves everyone equally and that they know they can go to and there's no expectation. So if you have 25 cents in your pocket or you have $1 million in your bank account, it doesn't matter. You're welcomed into the public library. And there are a lot of our friends and neighbors and family members that use the public library, and they rely on the public library to be a part of our community and be a part of society.
So I'm looking at different critiques of the library book now online, and it said, everybody who loves books should check out the library book. When the library was burnt down, what was done to build it back up, and what ramifications did that have on the on the community, because God forbid something should happen in Albany, I'm sure that there would be the same ramifications here in Albany. So what was it like after the fire, and what was done to rebuild it?
Well, I think, you know, one thing was it seemed to have an emotional toll on people in the neighborhood. But at the same time, when there's a challenge to people in a community, they band together to help, you know, not only just make sure that there's funding for that library to be rebuilt and that collection to be rebuilt, but also doing it in a way that fosters community, that will foster future use. And kind of, you know, it's a chance to remake the library into something new, kind of like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Mm-hmm. But it says in the critique that the morning of the fire, library officials were meeting with the fire department to consider putting sprinklers in, and that never came to pass. That's very unfortunate, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, the 700,000 books that, you know, were burnt, you know, when we build libraries today, we think about that collection, and we think about the possibilities of a fire, and we follow, you know, much stronger and stricter compliance. But, you know, this fire happened in the mid-'80s. And back then, the rules were not as strict. And sometimes we roll our eyes about those rules. You know, we have a head of facilities who is an expert in these matters. But it makes running a library a little bit more challenging. But in the end, you know, it makes you happy that some of these rules and, you know, some of these building compliances are there, and things are different than they were in the mid-'80s, because the buildings that we built, you know, about 10 years ago, they are prepared for something like this to happen. You know, they all have fire suppression units, and they all have fire, you know, a fantastic alarm system, as detection systems. And that's also something for people to think about. You know, libraries are not easy to run. It's not like you just walk up to the door and you open the door and that's it. Our facilities have issues. Last week, our facilities had multiple issues because of the weather and the change in the weather. And, you know, they're not cheap to operate, and we're very thankful to the public for providing a budget that allows us to have such beautiful buildings. And I would say, you know, in the 1980s, I don't know if that kind of money was necessarily invested in those libraries.
So, you know, over the years, the community has made a bigger investment in libraries than it did back then?
Absolutely. I would say public libraries, especially the building of libraries and, you know, the restoration of libraries, in the early and mid-2000s, libraries kind of went through a renaissance. And, you know, Albany Public Library was opening new branches and renovated branches in 2009, 2010. I was with the Poughkeepsie Public Library when they moved into their new main library. That was in 2009. There really was a renaissance for public libraries, and it was this idea of, you know, the library being more than just a place where books were held. And the fact that the public were very, you know, they were very vocal in their support. For every one person who's out there who says, you know, libraries are a thing of the past, or, you know, makes a Facebook post talking about how libraries are a waste of money, there's another 10 or 20 library supporters that are out there that, you know, are more than happy to be vocal and out there supporting public libraries and saying that we need the funding that we deserve and to kind of tell our story. Schenectady is a great example. Schenectady is still building new libraries in the city. So, you know, we really need to, I guess, stop listening to the one or two people who are out there who are kind of sending this false narrative about public libraries, and really listen to the majority of our friends and neighbors and see, you know, why they love the public library and why they support the public library so much.
So when you read the book, after you finished the book, did you gain insights into, you know, the library system or was it just
I think what it did for me, what it's always good for, you know, for librarians to read these books, is it's nice to have the recognition from someone else. You know, again, I think libraries aren't always that great at tooting their own horn. And, you know, it's always good to be recognized for the work that we have some fantastic staff here. And, you know, there's an emotional toll to librarianship. It can be exhausting. I worked the public service desk a couple weeks ago on a Sunday, and as much fun as it was, it's exhausting. I mean, it's person after person who are bringing in issues that sometimes you can fix, and sometimes it's just helping someone get on their email. But, you know, you spend a few hours a day, you know, helping people with challenges. At the end of the day, you're pretty mentally, you're pretty tired. So I think books like this really make us feel good about what we do and, you know, make us help us feel a little bit recognized for the hard work that we put in every day for our community and for our friends and neighbors.
Okay, great. So would you recommend the library book to anybody who is interested in expanding their knowledge?
Absolutely. I think it's definitely a really fun book to read. And again, it's, you know, if you're wondering what public libraries do, this is a really great way to kind of open your mind to them and see, you know, again, the writing is fantastic. It's a writer from The New Yorker, so of course it's going to be, you know, something that's going to be enjoyable to read. But what it really does is kind of put a human face to, you know, a building that I don't think we always think about that way. And just get people to see how important libraries are to their community and maybe make them realize that even though they don't step foot in a public library, that it probably has a really positive effect on them just by the positive effect that it has on their surrounding community.
This is wonderful because when I first saw the library book hit the New York Times bestseller list and I purchased it on my Nook, I'm sorry. I thought I have to call Scott and ask him to do an interview with me. So I'm glad that you. So what's going on at the library now, and what should people expect once the spring starts springing up?
Well, you know, first of all, if you're a member of a neighborhood association, you'll probably see me. This is my busy time of year because we prepare our we're in the midst of preparing our 2020 budget. And when we are finished with that budget, we always go out to the community. We will present to any group that invites us. Sometimes we invite ourselves. So if you have a community group, if you have a neighborhood association, you want to hear about the library, we are more than happy to come and speak with you. And it's really exciting. It gives us the opportunity to brag about what we did last year and get people excited about what we're doing in the future. 2019 is our fine-free year, so we have eliminated late fines for books. That doesn't mean you get books for free. You know, you will still be charged if you don't return that book. But, you know, now, if you have a book and you haven't wanted to come back to the library because you're embarrassed about that charge, well, guess what? You can bring that book back. We're also excited about providing Wi-Fi to a handful of parks in the city. And, you know, we've just got some really great programming prepared. That's going to be a big theme for 2019 as we're expanding our programming because it's so popular. I'd also like to plug I have a blog on the Times Union. I've had it for a few years now, and I've just written an article about the history of Albany and the Carnegie Library, Carnegie Libraries, which are all across the United States. That was a program from Andrew Carnegie, which did grants to build public libraries in the early part of the last century. And Albany, as it always does, has an interesting history when it comes to Carnegie. And I did a little research this week, and there'll be a blog post up, hopefully in the next few days, talking about why Albany does not have a Carnegie Library and why our libraries look a little bit different than some libraries in other cities.
Great. So they'll be able to read that online, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, terrific. So if you see anything that you want a platform for, Scott, please let me know. You've been listening to Scott Jozombek, and he's been doing a critique of the book, The Library Book. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Scott, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I hope we talk again soon, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Bye.